Thank you for listening to the LA Catholic Morning Podcast. To help us broadcast all the good, true, and beautiful, please go to our support page on archangelradio.com.
Time to wake up, Lower Alabama! Ha ha! From the original home of Mardi Gras, moon pies, and more, this is LA Catholic Morning.
Morning is here, folks. A little skip in your step, perhaps.
Oh, yeah.
I'm Ellen Taylor. Todd has taken a few days off, left in the RV. Maybe he'll text us some progress reports. Mike Romano's here. Reed is over there.
Yeah, text us and let us know where you are, Todd, and how the RV is going.
He might be at morning mass.
Hey, probably
yeah.
So. They're getting fed well.
Yeah,
you know,
because
you know Angel can cook.
Yeah. There was a draft last night. Mike was boasting before the show about the number of Alabama.
Yeah, we hit a record, I think. Oh. The most offensive players drafted in the first round.
I knew you'd find a record where Alabama shined top of everything else.
Was the Pope Catholic? I mean, come on now.
Well, we hope everyone's set for this weekend. It's glorious. The weather's good. Enjoy it as we inch towards May next week. So we'll open the day in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O God, author of our freedom and our salvation, listen to the voice of our pleading and grant that those you have redeemed by the shedding of your Son's blood may have life through you and under your protection rejoice forever unharmed. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We thank our LA Catholic Morning sponsor, Ike's Parasail. With locations in Gulf Shores, Orange Beach, and Perdido Key, Ike's Parasail is a water sport rental and recreation company serving Alabama and the Florida Gulf Coast. To make your vacation a thrilling and unforgettable experience, call 251-981-0055. Ike's Parasail, come fly away.
And in world news, 85 hours and 42 minutes. That was the time it took students, faculty, monks, and staff to read the Bible from beginning to end at Belmont Abbey College in North Carolina during its first cover-to-cover Bible marathon reading event earlier this month. More than 110 readers took turns standing at a podium in Stowe Hall, the college administration's building, reading aloud from sacred scripture throughout the day and night, beginning Monday, April 8th, and ending in the early hours of Friday, April 12th. It's pretty impressive. Tom McAllister, the Vice Provost and Dean of Student Life at Belmont Abbey, said that he got the idea from an experience he'd had while in college at Florida State. The international pro-life flag will not fly over Toronto Catholic Schools this May. Toronto Catholic School, the district board trustees voted against an April 23rd motion proposed by trustee Michael Del Grande that the pro-life flag fly outside all schools and the Catholic Education Center during the month of May, just as the board voted to fly the pride flag in June. Okay.
Huh.
Know where our priorities are.
Exactly.
All right. Asked during a new interview if he has any message for Vladimir Putin, the Russian president who instigated the war in Ukraine, Pope Francis stated that a negotiated peace is better than an endless war.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Speaking of the Pope, Pope Francis is reportedly considering returning to the U.S. in September to speak before the U.N. General Assembly. TikTok is gearing up for a legal fight against a U.S. law that would force the social media platform to break ties with its China-based parent company, a move almost certainly backed by Chinese authorities as the bitter U.S.-China rivalry threatens the future of a wildly popular way for young people in America to connect online. And of course, in sports news last night during the draft, USC QB Caleb Williams went number one to the Chicago Bears. Three Alabama players got drafted. It was the most offensive players to go in the first round. Offensive tackle J.C. Latham got drafted by the Tennessee Titans. Linebacker Dallas Turner got picked up by the Minnesota Vikings, and the Detroit Lions drafted Terrion Arnold. And I know from Tom, he said the Cowboys got an offensive lineman to help protect Dak so he can be more comfortable throwing interceptions.
Oh, you guys are cruel. The season hasn't even started yet.
Absolutely.
Good morning, Tom McDonald. Hey, I think he opened your line.
Yes, good morning. Yeah, I did watch the first round of the draft last night, and as usual, I was underwhelmed. The Cowboys traded their pick down, and then they picked an offensive lineman, which is great, but, you know, that's not a real splashy pick that you get excited about. We got to wait and see.
Oh, yeah. Usually the Miami Dolphins pick those, and then they're a bust.
And in other news, my son Jordan, he turns 12 today. So
oh, good for Jordan. Wow. Right. Oh, he's been Rickrolled.
Got to.
Oh, Tom, you wanted to talk about on your media review. Tom McDonald is with us. If you don't know, every Friday morning he comes on, dives into what's going on in the theaters and streaming. You found a movie, a recent movie. I believe it had a theatrical release too, One Life, right?
Yeah, and that's the challenge of the modern way of delivering content is that things are ironically or paradoxically movies and shows are more available than ever. But because there are so many ways of delivering them, it's easy for things to slip through the cracks and escape your notice if you don't have the right streaming service or you don't. You know, you're not a lot of these movies that would have played in theaters in a more widespread way are now, you know, debuting in New York and L.A. for a week and then they go to streaming. And it's you may never have seen anything about it. So this is a movie called One Life. And the only reason I stumbled upon it is because I was literally looking for something to review this week and thought, well, let me do a just Google search new releases, and this movie popped up, and the name is very nondescript, except I saw that it starred Anthony Hopkins. I thought, well, you know, he's always good, so let me see what this movie is about. And so I read the description and thought, wow, that sounds like that's right up my alley, so I'll give it a watch, and I'm so glad I did. This is a really, really inspiring film, especially given the circumstances of the world that we're in right now. And so I'm happy to tell everybody about it. One Life is based on a true story. It just came out. It was released in theaters in March. Of course, it didn't play in any theaters here in our area, but it just went to streaming earlier this month. So this is a fairly new release. It's based on a book called If It's Not Impossible, The Life of Sir Nicholas Winton, by Sir Nicholas Winton's daughter, Barbara. And it tells the story of the film and the book tell the story of Nicholas Winton, who went by the name Nicky, who was a young London stockbroker in the 30s, whose mother was Jewish, was born into a Jewish family from Germany and had immigrated to England and joined the Church of England. Now, so I think that's kind of what inspired him to do what he did. But he was a young London stockbroker who visited Prague in December of 1938 when Hitler had made his demands and had been appeased by being offered the possession of the Sudetenland and was moving into that area, taking control. And there was a lot of fear at that time that while the Allies were trying to appease Hitler, there was an ominous feeling that he was not going to be satisfied with the Sudetenland, but continue on through the rest of Czechoslovakia. And so the Jewish population of the area that he was going to occupy had to flee, and many of them fled to Prague. And so Nicky Winton visited Prague and was alarmed and shocked to see the hundreds and even thousands of people, refugees, who were living in the streets of Prague, just lining the alleys and the streets, living in the elements and the cold, many of whom were children, with no plan of really where they would go, no plan for them to receive any kind of semi-permanent shelter. And the thought was that they would either die due to the conditions of the weather in the winter setting in, or that the Germans would make their way to Prague eventually and would start rounding these Jewish families up and doing who knows what with them. I mean, the horrible rumors are going around at the time. So Nicky Winton felt moved to try to do something about this. And so he visited and met with Doreen Werner, who was the head of the British Committee for Refugees in Czechoslovakia. And he ran a small office there. And he met with her and asked her, what can we do to help move these children, relocate these children? And he really took it upon himself to come up with a plan to move as many of these refugee children to England as possible, to find foster families for them, to get them transportation, because the borders were not yet closed out of Czechoslovakia, to get them on trains out of Czechoslovakia through Germany and then on to London, where they could stay with foster families until the hope was they could be reunited with their parents after all the dust had settled on this. So the biggest thing he had to overcome was the red tape, was the bureaucracy, and meeting with officials and making sure all the documents were in order and all of these things. But he was just absolutely determined to do this. And the film, the structure of the film, is that it jumps back and forth from that time, the time of that operation, and not the present time, but the late 1980s, around about 1987 to 88. And that's when Anthony Hopkins plays Nicky Winton, is the 80-year-old version of him, who is kind of reminiscing. He's going through all his old files. He saved every bit of paperwork about this operation. And his wife was encouraging him to clean out and get rid of this stuff. And in the process of going through it, he starts to reminisce and has deep, deep grief about the children that sort of slipped through the cracks that he could not save, and wondering what happened to the ones he did get to England and lost track of. And so I don't want to give away too much more than that of what happens after that, but he makes a decision to try to get the word out about what he had done and about these refugee children he had saved, not to get attention for himself, but to call attention to the plight of refugees in general, and that this is an ongoing concern. And that makes it really relevant for us today because of our, you know, all of our issues with refugees in the world, in different places around the world. Anyhow, the story jumps back and forth between the past and then the 80s and weaves the tale together. And it really, I am so appreciative of it because I didn't know anything about this story at all. But so this was all new to me. And it just goes to show how many heroic actors did things. I don't mean like actors, but I mean people who act and make decisions and choose to do heroic things occurred in World War II that we either don't know about or found out about decades later, or may never know about because of the record keeping issues. So it's just incredible that story after story comes out about heroic actions during World War II or prior that that are just due to the initiative of one person or one group of people. Oscar Schindler comes to mind as someone else. And it really, it's a tear jerking, inspiring movie.
I think to your point, we don't know these heroic acts. This one, however, because when you told me about the movie, I had remembered what happened, and there was a fairly popular clip, I think, in social media of the accumulation. You're talking about the end of the movie, and so I think a lot of people have knowledge of that before, you know, as part of this story, because it really was impressive and it kind of unearthed. I think why it makes us perhaps uncomfortable Tom, you alluded to, is that there's a lot of parallels to today's situations. And we can watch a movie like that and we have compassion for the children that were being killed and driven out and separated from their parents and all that. I don't know that we exhibit that same level of passion today. And I don't know if it's because it's the times, it's our immediate problem. You know, this is sadly, I think, a state of just human nature where we look back on something and go, oh, yeah, I would have done something about that. I would have helped. And yet we kind of face some of the same problems today. And we are unwilling to do that, so many of us.
Yeah, that really is the case. And it's interesting. There was some controversy about the marketing of this film. Mm-hmm. Because clearly the children that Nicky went and helped were Jewish. Mm-hmm. But in the marketing by the BBC for this film, they referred to the children as Central European. Mm-hmm. They don't refer to them as Jewish. But it's, I mean, within 3 minutes of starting the film, you know they're all Jewish children. And so there was a lot of outcry about that. Why are they downplaying the fact that these were Jewish children that he helped? And so they changed the marketing and included that. But it just goes to shine a light on the fact that we're still troubled and conflicted about refugees, about just look at our college campuses today, the conflict between the Palestine movement and Israel. There's a lot of emotion wrapped up in all that. And so I think it's helpful to not see the events of today in a vacuum, but to look at really the plight of the Jewish people from the beginning forward. And I think focusing on children is helpful because it takes the most heartless or the most inhumane of persons to not recognize that children, regardless of their ethnic or religious background, are in need of assistance. So whether they're Jewish or not, I mean, these were kids who were just kids who needed homes, who needed safety. Right. And he helped. I mean, it's not a complicated story. He went there. He went to Czechoslovakia. He saw these children living on the streets and wanted to get them to safety. Right. I mean, that's there's no political agenda that he had. He simply wanted to help these kids. And he did. Mm-hmm. And it really is. It's a powerful movie. It's available. I found it on Apple Plus, but I think you can probably find it on Amazon and other of the main streaming services where you can order movies and pay for them.
Yes, they have it there. Mm-hmm.
And this one is still very new, I rented it, but it was $20 to rent it.
Well, I hope you had a room full of people to, you know, aggregate that cost.
It was myself and Caroline.
Oh, okay, so
if you think about it, if the two of us went to a movie and bought two tickets, it would have cost us $20 plus whatever else we spent,
right?
In popcorn or whatever. So yeah. Really,
what's
not that bad?
What's it rated?
It is.
Oh, let me see if I have it here.
Looking here.
Okay, but it's acceptable. Okay, it's acceptable for families or older kids.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
There was nothing graphic or objectionable in it. I think middle school kids on up, I think, would benefit from this film. Mm-hmm. It's got a 95% audience rating on Rotten Tomatoes. It's got a 90% critic rating.
Okay.
Which when the audience and the critics are both above 90, you know you're dealing with something of solid quality. Mm-hmm.
Well, that sounds like a good pick. You know, I think the lore of the Tom McDonald review is spreading across the land because someone approached me this week and said, hey, is Tom McDonald going to review that Civil War movie? And I hadn't heard of it, but then I looked at it online, another movie I believe that is in theaters and probably going to streaming soon. So I had a request from a fan, Tom, for that review.
Yeah, I've been wanting to see that. That's on. I don't know how soon I'll get to it, but I do intend to see it and then and discuss it at some point in the near future. Yes.
Okay.
Also, probably going to see The Fall Guy with Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt for next week as well. Maybe I can squeeze in both of those.
Oh, look at you doing the workload of two Tom McDonalds. Tom, have a great Friday and a great week. We'll talk to you next week.
All right.
Thanks. I know. Look at that.
Going to see the Fall Guy and the War of Northern Aggression. So, you know.
No, Civil War is about a modern day Civil War in the U.S.
Civil War.
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
Yeah. Just contemporary stuff, Mike.
Right.
Chad Bartwick is in the building. He's the superintendent of schools for the Archdiocese of Mobile. We're going to talk about School Choice Act, and he's joining us next. Stay with us. Mike's got us moving here on a Friday. He's going to slide us into the weekend. Welcome back to L.A. Catholic Morning. I'm Ellen Taylor. Todd is out today. We'll be back Wednesday. I have to work like by myself all these days.
Ugh, I know. Offer it up. Offer it up.
Okay, yeah.
What your mother would tell you. Offer it up, Ellen.
Yeah. But making my day better when guests come in studio, and sitting next to me today is Chad Bartwick, the superintendent of Catholic schools for the Archdiocese of Mobile.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for coming in early. You look all dapper there. And that's just a reminder, too, that folks can watch the show on our Facebook live feed. And Reed Hodges has got us back up on our YouTube channel, which we will be promoting and stuff like that starting next week. But we're testing it out these couple days here. So you can catch us on YouTube as well.
That's beautiful.
Just trying to bring the message to the people, Chad,
it's the way to do it. Evangelizing. Yeah. They're all doing the same thing.
So superintendent of school, that's a big hat to wear. And we're sliding into May next week. You feel comfortable with where you're at and how it has evolved this first year?
It's a controlled chaos,
okay.
But it's been great.
That's like any household, too.
Amen. Yes. When you consider the kids in our archdiocese, I kind of like adopt them as my own. So about 5,000 children.
Mm-hmm.
And as we get into May, teachers have to hold on because it's the craziest month.
Of course. Yes.
It just kind of accelerates exponentially every day. Mm-hmm. So you have the last sporting events, the last concerts, the last everything before senior activities and graduation. So it's about to get crazy.
Oh, that's good. I'm sure you get a lot of visits and stops with all these activities on the calendar, too.
I'm actually wearing my McGill colored tie today. I try to coordinate by where I'm visiting. So I'm headed from here over to McGill-Toulon to have a meeting. So
I
get to see our jackets in action over there.
Oh, that is good. That is good. Is it as you expected? Because sometimes stepping into shoes to fill that have been worn for a long time, mm-hmm. you kind of observe. I always find I observe first and then think, okay, what would I want to change? Get feedback, all of those kinds of things that make a good leader. And I imagine you've been out to and spoke with all 5,000 of these kids, right?
Pretty much.
Oh, yeah.
One of the neat things for my job this year was going with Archbishop to every school.
Oh, okay.
And having almost a full day at every school where we kind of rile them up, stir them up in the mm-hmm. classroom, then leave.
Oh,
and then
good.
Get extra recess. And so, we've hit up every school. And I think, I've said hi to every kid. But the reality is, it is an interesting time to take this job. I'm very blessed to have a firm foundation to jump from and a great mm-hmm. support from Archbishop. But things like what we're going to talk about later, the Choose Act,
mm-hmm.
will change the game. And there's a lot of excitement throughout the Archdiocese for how do we manage growth. And so like this year, our enrollment was up a little bit. In 2 years, it'll be up a whole lot. And so how do we manage that growth, especially on this side of the Archdiocese, the Southeast, mm-hmm. in Baldwin County, which is one of the fastest growing metro areas in the nation. And I just heard a stat that says Foley, being the kind of epicenter of Catholic culture now because of population.
Oh,
and
really?
That's a big change. And it's neat to help usher in the future for the Archdiocese.
Well, you drive through Foley, you can see a lot of building going on
Amen.
Down there.
Yeah.
So this, what is it called? The Choose Act, which was signed into law by Governor Kay Ivey just this past March, has actually made it easier or more affordable for parents to send their children to Catholic schools?
It will be.
Okay.
Starting in the 25-26 school year, so we have a year to prepare for this.
Mm-hmm.
If your family of four makes about $90,000,
mm-hmm.
you get a grant of $7,000 to go to the school of your choice, up to $7,000. So our Catholic school tuition for the elementaries is under that, and our high schools are above that. So it could be a game changer for families that said, I've always been a little bit on the fence because we can't afford Catholic education, but I really want my kids to learn about their faith every day. I really think this will be a watershed event in Catholic education in Alabama. I've been in conversation with the superintendent in Birmingham, and we're getting our ducks in a row. Marketing, how do we talk to people? How do we let them know this opportunity? And then concurrently, like talking to every principal every time, like, how are you planning for growth? Do you have room for people? How many kids are in your religious education classes? Can we invite them in first so that mm-hmm. we retain that strength of Catholic identity? So there's a lot of work to be done next year, but it is exciting, exciting. I was talking to Dr. Kathy McCool at St. Benedict's in Alberta, mm-hmm. and they could, if this goes through and it works the way they think, they're going to have to grow.
Yeah.
And that's the funny part. Bathrooms will determine their future, not the availability of kids, right?
So how will this work then? Because $7,000, I mean, that's a godsend for a lot of families to be able to put towards Catholic school education.
Yeah, so the functionality is actually being written right now by the Department of Revenue.
I'm ahead of the game then, asking for specifics.
No, but there's a mm-hmm. lot of it's well known. So the school has to agree that they can be audited, which is – our books are awesome and clean, so that's not a problem. Mm-hmm. We have to do a nationally normed test, which we already do. Our academic performance is amazing. So the parts that they say you have to do are easy, and we already do them.
Okay.
How do our parents get involved? Well, the neat part, too, is after that first 2 years of the CHOOSE Act, the income threshold goes away. So it really becomes a recognition that all parents should have the benefit to send their kids to Catholic education. There will be preference given to those with lower income, which is right and just. And for those that have special needs, there will be 500 slots for kids that have significant learning needs. And then military and first responders will also get a nod first. But at that third year, it opens the doors wide for all of our families, all of our Catholic families, and those interested in our values to jump into our schools.
Well, and that is encouraging because a lot of states have gone to these type of programs. And mm-hmm. Todd and I would lament on many interviews, why isn't Alabama more on the case? So this is exciting.
It's been a long time coming, and I'm grateful to the legislator and to the governor for this because the current Accountability Act that we have is helpful, but mm-hmm. it's convoluted. It's hard for parents to jump in.
Yeah.
This should be pretty simple.
What would parents have to do maybe if they're thinking ahead, okay, in 2025, if I get that $7,000 credit, I would be able to send my kid there. Is there anything they should be doing now? Do they need to have certain forms or plans ready?
Right. I would say start the conversation with the school early.
Okay.
A lot of the schools that will have their space now, but in a few years, there might not be. I was talking to a friend of mine in Venice, the Diocese of Venice in Florida, mm-hmm. and they have a waiting list in every school, every grade now.
Oh, wow.
It went from room to there's no room in the inn. And that's a great gift because they're opening schools. I was talking to the superintendent of Pensacola. They're talking about their next steps. How do we open schools?
Right.
And so that's a game changer there. The parents that have maybe pre-K age children, I'd say if you can afford it, get them in now because the preference will be for keeping current families.
Okay.
And there's no eligibility penalty. Like if you are in Catholic school, you can be eligible for the CHOOSE Act the next year, as soon as it opens up.
Okay, so if they're already doing it, parents are paying the mm-hmm. tuition out of pocket.
Correct.
They can take advantage of this CHOOSE Act when it becomes available in 25.
Absolutely. Okay. And there's a lot of there's a lot of forward thinking and planning to say, I can afford Catholic education for my children. I want to receive this grant and still pay part of my tuition or all of my tuition to mm-hmm. help the school grow and that facility needs. And so those are some conversations going on. We've had a lot of conversation with our pastors who say, how does this change the game for our support for our school? Mm-hmm. And it should be a really wild time to say there are a lot of unknowns, but it should help financially every school.
And this is strictly at the state level. This is all being executed, right?
Correct.
Because a lot of times, you know, people's biggest fear, government gets their hands in something and they're going to make it worse.
Right.
And the Catholic schools, what has been good about them is that they have followed those accrediting things we have to do to make sure our schools are on par with every other school. But we've also held tight and practiced our Catholic principles and the foundation they are built on.
That's primary and secondary, so that we're here for the evangelization of people to bring them to Christ. I love this bill because it has very few exceptions or onerous additions that would make us lose our Catholic identity. It doesn't change how we admit students. We already agree that we cannot discriminate when we let people in. If you're seeking Christ and you agree to our handbooks, that's our contract. The reality of the CHOOSE Act is little things like testing and accreditation. We've been doing that for decades. And it's a matter of saying to our parents, and church documents tell us, your Catholic school should be better than your public school. It shouldn't be, it's nice to have, it's a cute little family.
Right, yeah.
It needs to be robust, strong education and prepares them for their future.
And I think that's something that those of us who went to Catholic school, you know, was a great foundation for later in life. Where is there a place where parents can go read more about this, dive into the details that we can't get through in a 15-minute interview?
We have been preparing a little bit on our website. So Mob Arch Schools, we have a school choice tab, and it talks about the CHOOSE Act and some of those really cool, but it's 2 pages right now of front and back. And so you're thinking to yourself, what is the income eligibility? What is the rollout time? What does it mean? How do I get in? And so we give a primer on our website for that.
Okay, and that is good. And then the state will be rolling out more information in this coming year?
So they'll be determining things like who administers the fund. How does the fund it has a floor for the first year of $100 million, not a ceiling. So how does that function? How do they – it'll go through taxes partially, not in a way that's difficult – but how do they check that? How do they keep the books organized? Who gets audited? How many schools are looked at? All those things are being determined now. So it isn't a time to stop praying. It's a neat opportunity. We're very blessed by it. But I'm also open to saying, hey, can we help discuss some of these rules and how they're implemented so that all schools, but especially our Catholic schools, are protected?
Well, and I'm sure the state would want to get some input for something like a superintendent of schools, you know, here up in Birmingham in the Catholic, because a lot of their schools will be participating in this.
And we are the largest group, the non-private group, when you take Catholic schools together, Birmingham and Mobile. They've welcomed us to the table in the discussions. It's a refreshing feeling to walk in and see that it isn't punitive towards Catholics, and it's very open towards what we're trying to do, which is bring our kids in strength to education.
Oh, yeah. And I think every person in Alabama would be behind that. How could you not be behind educating kids in our state for the future?
It's a wonderful time to be in Alabama.
Yeah. So in the final couple minutes here, what's your good news nuggets that your takeaway from the school year? Like things that maybe went, that was like just a really good moment in walking the schools or in around the cities.
I would say that I've been in different dioceses. Mobile, with its priests, with its schools, with its principals, its teachers, and its parents, too. It's incredible. We are so, using a Chris Booten, Father Booten reference, we are punching above our weight.
He does say that.
We are, it's excellent. We're very blessed to have a shepherd who has supported schools for 16 years with his time and with his interest. And so with Gwen Bird's work, with all of our principals' work over the decades, we do such a great job to bring kids to Christ with that first and primary focus that the Eucharist is the center of all of our schools, and parents know and they're seeing. And I think parents are challenging themselves. What is the world's changing? How do we help our kids grow in their faith and just to be good people? And so we're seeing a very strong interest in coming to our Catholic schools.
It seems to me in all this talk of growth, you're going to need good quality Catholic teachers too. On board.
So we're end on that down note because it is hard to find. So tell your grad school kids, get your education degrees, come work for our schools. We're very intentional about going out and recruiting. I was up at the University of Notre Dame recruiting. We were at Benedictine College. We're trying to make sure that the kids that come to our schools as young teachers set their feet into an environment that is for their future, 20, 30 years career-wise. But that they get that our kids deserve the best, starting with their Catholic identity, but great education and great formation, and also just great mentors. And so that future of how do we recruit teachers keeps me up at night, because it's hard everywhere in every sector, right?
Everyone's having problems recruiting in their fields. I think it's just a problem of our times. Mm-hmm. But there are good people, and we have to find them, and we have to invite them, because those people are also looking for good places to land. They don't want to land in a place of chaos.
Right.
They want to put their feet on the ground in a great community, in a great system,
right,
and look at that they can grow in their personal growth as well as their career growth.
And that too, like the next step is to look for the future of our principals. Shout out to Trey Krause, who's starting his time at Notre Dame this summer as a principal candidate there.
Oh, look at that. Oh, wow.
Heck yeah.
Another person punching above his weight.
Yeah, grabbing some 5-star recruits, huh?
Oh, there you
go. Our little draft. Yes.
Well, if you're thinking about teaching, pray upon it at Archdiocese of Mobile Schools.
Give me a call, please.
Chad Barwick, thank you so much for
God
coming.
Bless y'all.
Thank you for all the work you do. And keep us posted in this next year. We'll have you back as this progress moves along with the CHOOSE Act.
Blessed to be here. Thank you.
Thanks. Oh, good stuff. Mike, final segment on Friday is Deacon Todd.
Deacon Todd Martin from
right.
St. Ignatius.
Sunday Gospel Reflection next. Stay with us on LA Catholic Morning.
If home is where the heart is, then my heart lives by the bay.
Welcome back to LA Catholic Morning. That music can mean only one thing. It is the final segment on Friday here on our show. And on the line with us is Deacon Todd Martin from St. Ignatius Parish in Mobile. Good morning, Deacon. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning. Happy to be here.
Oh, good. Now, your good friend Todd is off driving his RV, so you're going to be here with me and Mike, but it's all good because you are here to bring the Sunday Gospel to life and give our listeners just a little perspective and preparation before they get to Mass on Sunday.
I appreciate that, and safe travels to Todd and his family.
Oh, you want to dive in? We are looking at the Gospel of John on this, fifth Sunday of Easter?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Good.
Let's go.
Okay.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He takes away every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and everyone that does, he prunes so it bears more fruit. You are already pruned because of the word that I spoke to you. Remain in me as I remain in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit on its own unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, because without me you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me will be thrown out like a branch and wither, and people will gather them and throw them into a fire, and they will be burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want, and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Well,
good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ, and if you're joining us for the first time, a very warm welcome to you, and we appreciate you spending a few minutes with us this morning. In the Gospel for this Sunday, we hear Jesus painting a beautiful picture to his disciples of a vine and its fruit and the branches, and we can assume from this illustration that the Lord may be talking about a grapevine, because grapes were grown throughout the land there, and they were kind of an agrarian society. But Jesus calls his Father the vine grower and describes himself as the true vine, and we are the branches. This portrait would have been readily understood by the disciples. To maintain a healthy producing vineyard, I looked up, old and non-producing branches must be removed, and they must be pruned annually. And these clusters aren't going to set as many berries if they're not pruned because of the shade. And so that was pretty interesting that we do need pruning. And so pruning, it turns out, is very essential. And to produce good fruit, we must remain connected to the vine, that is Jesus, and be pruned by the Father so the sap of life, the Holy Spirit, can flow through us. In this way, we can bear much fruit. Let me just go over that one more time. By being connected to the vine, which is our Lord, and being pruned by the Father, that the flow, the Holy Spirit through us, the sap, if you will, enables us to bear the kind of fruit that we need to bear. And the problem comes from sin. Sin damages the branch, and without repentance can lead to separation from the vine, which leads to death. The venerable Father Fulton Sheen had a really great take on this, and he says this way: sin is not the worst thing in the world. The worst thing in the world is the denial of sin. If I am blind and deny that there is any such thing as light, shall I ever see? If I am deaf and deny there is any such thing as harmony, will I ever hear? If I deny there is any such thing as sin, how shall I ever be forgiven? The denial of sin is the unforgivable sin, for it makes redemption impossible. And I thought that was very well put, and St. John Paul adds a little bit to this. He says, there is only one thing more dangerous than sin, and that is the murder of a man's sense of sin. And so we have all sinned, and that is true. But the difference is, if we are sorry and we seek forgiveness for our sin, we can remain on the vine and have our, rather than be cut away and wither away and like a dead branch. All branches end up one place or the other. It is very clear. You're either in paradise with the Holy Trinity, or you're gathered up and cast into fire. This gospel leads us with only two places to go: either remain in the branch or be gathered up. And so what must we do to bear this kind of fruit? And what is the Lord looking for? Well, first, the Lord tells us that we must remain in him if we are to produce good fruit. And we must be nourished. And thank the Lord that we have access to the Holy Mass, the liturgy of the Word, the liturgy of the Eucharist. We are fed by the Word. We are fed by the Eucharist. And we can help with that pruning a little bit by making it to the Sacrament of Reconciliation. So through the church, we are given basically the weed and feed, if you will, of the nourishment and the weed killer to help us thrive. And so if we are thriving, and if we are stay connected to the Lord, who is the vine, he will help our body, mind, and soul, and enable us to produce the good fruit. And what is this good fruit? Well, we get the word on the good fruit. The good fruit is the fruit of the Spirit. It is charity, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, modesty, chastity, and self-control. And these are the fruit. This is the fruit that we need to strive for. This is the fruit we need to pray for. This is the fruit we need to attend Mass to get the nourishment for, because the fruits of the Holy Spirit transform our very being, and we become the image of the true vine, Christ himself. And this allows us to accomplish the greatness for which we are created, because we were created in the image of God, who is love and goodness in itself. And so I would encourage all of the listeners today to turn and think, take a few minutes of quiet time today and reflect, where in my life are some of the branches growing that are a little wild or out of control? Where are some areas that pruning would help me? Where are some areas that I can look at and reflect on that would that I can turn over to the Lord and ask for his help so I can be a branch that produces the good food and the fruits that enable us to be good Christians and good stewards of the Lord's gifts to us. And this is really a prayer that you see that all the saints in one form or the other bring to light, because some of them, as we know, suffered greatly and were pruned greatly and produced a tremendous fruit. St. Faustina comes to mind. I mean, we end up with the divine image from her. She suffered greatly. She even suffered in the convent at the hands of fellow sisters. So, I mean, suffering and pruning is part of it, but the joy that we get from the fruit will outshine and outlast all of it. So today, let's take a few minutes and reflect on this. And this Sunday, when we get to Mass, let's bring the areas that we need when we come up for communion, if we're in a situation where we're prepared to receive the Holy Eucharist, we can ask for that nourishment. So God bless those who are listening. Help us all, dear Lord, to be the stewards you would have us to be.
Deacon Todd Martin, I think you laid it out beautifully. That is our Sunday Gospel reflection. I am struck when I was reading through this and listening to this, how often the word remain is used in this Bible passage from the book of John. Like every other line, it's remain in me, remain in me. It's kind of reminding us and recalling of where we should be at utmost at all times. I think that's pertinent to a lot of people, because a lot of people may have disagreements. I don't believe that. That's hard. I don't get that. I'm either going to wander away or I'm going to go find something new. But this calling to remain in him seems utmost, even if it's done in an imperfect way. Remain with me. Like outside of that, there is no life.
I think you're exactly, and that is a beautiful point, because we remain in Christ by obeying the commandments, by receiving the Holy Eucharist, by the Word, the liturgy of the Word. And everything that we do, I think that is a great point, because separate from Christ, we are absolutely nothing.
Mm-hmm. It is so true. And our human nature, I think, Deacon, is to question, to poke, to prod, to go out here and try this. And it takes a sense, I think, of a letting go of our own pride, becoming more humble and childlike, like other gospel passages have told us, to remain. When the world tells us, you know, we always joke here on the show, this American rugged individualism, to our detriment sometimes in things, because we are called to be part of the body of Christ. We are called to remain with him, even if our human nature is kind of pushing and pulling at that as well.
I think that's also a good point. Mm-hmm. And people do. They run to try to find happiness here or happiness mm-hmm. there. But happiness is not joy. Mm-hmm. Joy is deep. Joy is from the heart, from the spirit, from the soul. Happiness is a fleeting, being at a party or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, yes. Mm-hmm. Good word.
It is. We live in a world that chases happiness, not joy. And maybe it's a good reflection this weekend to sit in the joy, in the love of Christ, in the beauty of our Catholic faith, and build upon that and go share it with the world. Isn't that what
Amen.
We're calling to do?
Mm-hmm. Oh. Amen. That is.
That's what's going to attract the most converts, seeing that joy within us.
Oh, sharing the gospel.
That's true. So. That's true. We're sent forth after every Mass. Go forth. Uh-huh. Go forth.
Amen.
And we should go forth, and they should see the joy, and that should bring them. Where's your joy from? Well, come with me. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's a great point.
Deacon Todd Martin, thank you so much for joining us on this Sunday Gospel Reflection on LA Catholic Morning. I'm sure all the great parishioners at St. Ignatius are blessed to have you there as well, too.
Amen.
Thank you.
Oh, well, I'm blessed to be here, and the Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
And may God bless you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Have a great weekend.
Great. Thank you. Deacon Todd Martin, Sunday Gospel Reflection. Exactly. We thank our sponsor, Alabama Smile Design, at 4720 Airport Boulevard in Mobile. With patient comfort and convenience, Alabama Smile Design offers general cosmetic and implant dentistry. Let's face it, life's better with teeth. Call 251-344-4994 or visit alabamasmiledesign.com. Beautiful smiles to match a beautiful city. Mike, what's happening on Monday?
Yes, on Monday, Andrea Pachotti-Bayer shares how the SCOTUS ruling on abortion, guns, and social media could impact religious freedom. Brad Miner talks about holy days of obligation. And James Kalb discusses his article on social class today.
That's good. Big thing, anything for this weekend?
Yeah, my son's birthday party, so.
Oh, look at that. Yeah. You're going to be leading the madness, I'm going to say.
Yeah. Looking forward to it.
Reed's probably going to be out with the horses.
Hey.
Yeah.
Taking care of that little
leap of faith.
Yeah.
Have a great, blessed weekend.
God bless you, and don't forget to call your mama. She loves you.